In the previous Mishnah, we were introduced to the 24 groups of Kohanim, known as Mishmarais, and how although during the rest of the year, each Mishmar would serve in the Beis HaMikdash for 1 week at a time, and there would be a rotational system, on the Shalosh Regalim, all of the Mishmarais, all Kohanim, could come into the Beis HaMikdash and be part of the offering of the Korbanos Musaf. And as well as that, they also had the right to whatever Korbanos were eaten. All of the Kohanim could take part in that, as long as it's the Korbanos which were related directly to the Yom Tov. Korbanos which are bought for the sake of the Yom Tov, which are eaten. So those could be eaten by all of the Mishmarais, they are split equally. However, as we will see in the following Mishnah, all of the other Korbanos, for example, the voluntary Korbanos which other people would bring on Chol HaMoed, let's say, so only the Mishmar whose turn it was, only they would offer out those Korbanos and take part in eating them. They would split it within their own Mishmar alone. Says the Mishnah, B'shleish HaPrakim Bashana, at three times in the year, and this is referring to the Shalosh Regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, Hayu Kol HaMishmarais Shavin, all of the Mishmarais, all of the groups of Kohanim were equal, Be'emurei HaRegalim, which in this context means Korbanos which are brought for the sake of the Yom Tov. So all of the Mishmarais had equal share in offering them and in receiving those parts which can be eaten. So this includes Korbanos Musaf. This also includes the Korban which every single man above the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah is obligated to bring on all of the Shalosh Regalim when he comes to the Beis HaMikdash. That's not a public Korban. It's a private Korban, but part of those Korbanos go to the Kohanim, and they are being brought because of the Yom Tov, and therefore all of the Mishmarais have equal share in these. As well as that, if Yom Tov fell on Shabbos, or Chol HaMoed, whenever Shabbos fell during that week of Yom Tov, or if it fell on Shavuos, of a Chiluk Lechem Aponim. When it comes to splitting the Lechem Aponim, which were the 12 very large loaves of bread, which are generally eaten on Shabbos and split between the two Mishmarais who are changing over. A Mishmar would always finish working and start working on Shabbos. That was the switchover. And that is when the 12 loaves were split. So in general, they were split between those two Mishmarais. However, on a Shabbos which fell during Yom Tov, that bread was split between all 24 Mishmarais who were there in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Bo'atzeres, if Shabbos falls on Shavuos, so the Lechem Aponim, although we called it bread, the truth is Lechem Aponim were actually made of matzah. It was not chometz, it wasn't bread. It was sort of 12 loaves of matzah. Now on Shavuos there is also an offering of bread, 2 loaves, and on Shavuos it has to be chometz, not matzah. So if Shavuos fell on Shabbos, then all 24 Mishmarais would receive both the Lechem Aponim and the Shtei Alechem, the 2 loaves of bread brought on Shavuos. So to make sure that each Mishmar would receive one of each, and not by mistake 2 of the Lechem Aponim, or 2 portions of the chometz of the Shtei Alechem, so they would make sure to clearly say, Omrim Loi, they would say to each Kohen who would receive the chometz and the matzah, the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem Aponim, Heiloch Matzah, Heiloch Chometz. Here you go, here's some matzah, and here is some chometz. The matzah being from the Lechem Aponim, and the chometz being from the Shtei Alechem. And that way they would make it very clear, and make sure that there would be no mistakes of by mistake giving, let's say, 2 portions of the Lechem Aponim to one Kohen instead of 1 portion of the Lechem Aponim, and 1 portion of the Shtei Alechem. Now, as we explained before, Mishmar Shazmani Kavua, the Mishmar whose time was fixed, it was their time, it was their turn during the week of Yom Tov, Hu Makriv Tamidin. Only that Mishmar would be part of the offering of the Korbanos Tomid, the daily offering which has not got anything to do with the Yom Tov itself, Nedarim or Nedavos, various voluntary offerings, which people are bringing to the Beis HaMikdash not because of the Yom Tov. It might be that people happen to bring lots more on Yom Tov and on Chol HaMoed, but it is not related to the Yom Tov itself, and so only that Mishmar would take part in those Korbanos, Ushar Korbanos Tzibur, and the rest of the public Korbanos which have not got anything to do with the Yom Tov itself. For example, the Korban Musaf of Shabbos. And the Mishnah adds, U'makriv es hakol, they would offer up everything. Now, we already saw that they don't offer up everything, because the Korbanos which have something to do with the Yom Tov are split equally between all of the Mishmarais. So what does it mean that they offer up everything? The Gemara explains it's coming to include something else known as Kayetz HaMizbeach. What exactly is Kayetz HaMizbeach? So if there were no Korbanos being bought at any particular moment during the day, so in order that the Mizbeach not just be left there not being used, and without any Korbanos, the Beis HaMikdash itself would pay for Korbanos to be brought on the Mizbeach. That was known as Kayetz HaMizbeach, and again, that is not because of the Yom Tov at all. And so only the Mishmar, whose turn it was, they would offer up the Karbonis as part of the Kayetz HaMizbeach. Now the last part of the Mishnah tells us that if Yom Tov HaSomach LaShabbos, if a day of Yom Tov itself, not Chol HaMoed, but an actual day of Yom Tov, if it falls next to Shabbos, Bemel Faneha, whether it be before Shabbos on a Friday, Bemel Acharecha, or whether it be after Shabbos on a Sunday. So any Kohen who wanted to come and serve in the Beis HaMikdash for Yom Tov would pretty much be forced to come for Shabbos as well. And so the Chachom instituted that Hoyu Kol HaMishmaris Shavim Chilik Lechem Aponim, all of the Mishmaris would have an equal share in the 12 loaves, the 12 pieces of matzah of Shabbos, even though the Shabbos is not Yom Tov itself, since it is right next to Yom Tov, and the Kohenim are all there only because they're forced to be there, in order that they'll be able to be there for Yom Tov, so they get an equal share in the Shabbos matzah loaves, even though it is not actually on Yom Tov itself. Mishnah Ches, what happens if Chol Yoshem Echad Hafsik Bin Tayim? If one day falls in between Yom Tov and Shabbos, so either Yom Tov ends on a Thursday, or Yom Tov starts on a Monday, so it's technically possible for the Kohanim to leave the Beis HaMikdash on Friday or to arrive on Sunday. However, it would be quite inconvenient, and most Kohanim, if they had been there for Yom Tov or they're coming for Yom Tov, and there's only one day in between Yom Tov and Shabbos, they would be in the Beis HaMikdash for Shabbos as well. However, since it is possible for them to have left or to have arrived later, they are not considered to be equal to the Mishmar whose turn it is. Although at the same time, they do still take a share in the Lechem Aponim, in the matzah loaves, as the Mishnah now describes. Mishmar Shezman Kavua, the Mishmar whose fixed time it is, it's their week in the Beis HaMikdash, Chayonotel Eser Chalois, they would take 10 out of 12 of the loaves. Now the truth is, there would never be just one Mishmar who would take all of the loaves. As we explained earlier, the Mishmaris would always switch on Shabbos, and Shabbos is the day that they would split the loaves. So as we're about to see later on in this Mishnah, they would actually split it. According to most, that would be 6 and 6. So in this case, where Yom Tov falls either on a Thursday or a Monday, so the two Mishmaris who are switching on Shabbos, they would split, instead of 12, they would split 10. So they would each get 5. Instead of 6 loaves, and the remaining 2 loaves, Zamis Akim and Toshtayim, those Kohanim who are staying there extra, they would all split 2 loaves between them. Now, what would they do regularly? And during the rest of the days of the year, the Mishmar who is coming in now and starting their week, they take 6 of the loaves, and the Mishmar who is leaving, they also take 6 loaves. Rabbi Yehuda says, Hanichnos, the Mishmar who is coming in, Notel Sheva. They take 7 loaves, and the Mishmar who is leaving only take 5 loaves. Now, of course, ultimately they would always end up getting 12 loaves altogether, just instead of getting 6 loaves this Shabbos, and then the next Shabbos when they leave they get another 6, they instead start by getting 7 this week, and 5 when they leave. Now, why is that? So the Mefarshim explain that on that Shabbos, the first few things which need to be done that day in the Beis HaMikdash are done by the first Mishmar. And in general, if a group of people, or a group of Kohanim start doing something in the Beis HaMikdash, they should finish it. However, what happens? They leave in the middle of the day, and the next Mishmar comes, and they do the rest of the things which need to be done that day. So for example, the first Mishmar, they opened the gates of the Beis HaMikdash, but the next Mishmar are the ones who close the gates. So in a way, you could look at it as if they're sort of finishing their job for them. The first Mishmar really should have done it, but the new Mishmar are doing it for them. So in return for that, the new Mishmar take one of their loaves. Continues the Mishnah, Hanichnosin Cholkim Batzofain. Those Kohanim who are coming in as part of the new Mishmar, they split the loaves in the north part of the Azara. That's considered the more holy part of the Azara, where the higher level Korbonos are slaughtered. And since this Mishmar is coming for a new week of service in the Beis HaMikdash, they're on the way to that, so they are considered sort of on a higher level, and they go to the holier part of the Azara, the Hayotzim Badoraim, whereas the Kohanim who are leaving as part of the other Mishmar, who had already been there for a week, they split the loaves in the south part of the Azara. Now there was one exception to this, and that is Bilga. This was a name for a particular Mishmar. All of the 24 Mishmaris had names, so Bilga was the name of one of them. And that Mishmar, Le'olam Chalekes Badoraim. They would always have to split the loaves in the south part of the Azara. That was as a punishment, as we will explain in a moment. And they were punished in 2 other ways as well. Number 1 is V'tabat HaKavua. Their ring was fixed. In the north part of the Azara, of the courtyard, there were 24 rings on the floor, which could be sort of lifted up from the ground, or turned over a bit, and they would put the animal underneath that ring, and then close the ring, so that the animal couldn't move about a lot, and it would have to stay there while being slaughtered. Otherwise, it would be likely that the animal would be moving about a lot, and the slaughtering might become invalid. So by making the animal go under the ring and be still, so they could do the shechita, they could slaughter the animal quite easily. But in order to get the animal's head underneath the ring, they had to lift the ring up, or turn it round a bit so it goes underground. The point is that the ring of Bilgah of that mishmar, there were 24 rings for each mishmar, so the ring which corresponded to Bilgah, that was fixed, so in order to slaughter the animals, they had to borrow somebody else's ring, the ring of a different mishmar. And the third punishment was V'chaloina Satuma, their window was closed. This refers to a particular chamber known as Beis HaChalifos, which is where the knives were kept, the knives which are needed for the Beis HaMikdash. And each mishmar had a particular window, which they could put their knives into the chamber through that window. But again, Bilgah's window was closed, they would have to borrow a different mishmar's window, and these three things were punishments for the mishmar of Bilgah. Now, why exactly were they punished? So the daughter of one of the Kohanim who were part of this mishmar, she left her faith, she ended up marrying a Greek. And when the Greeks entered and were metameh, they made the Beis HaMikdash impure. She came inside the Beis HaMikdash, and she kicked the Mizbeach, and she shouted, Lukus, Lukus, which is the Greek for wolf, wolf. She disgraced the Mizbeach, and she said, up until when will you continue destroying the money of the Jews? The Jews spend so much money on the Karbonos, and yet it doesn't seem to help, because now the Greeks are entering the Beis HaMikdash. She totally made a disgrace of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach, the Jewish people. And so after the Chanukah story, where the Chashmonaim won, and they overcame the Greeks, so the Chachom punished this Mishmar of Bilgah in these three ways. Solik Maseches Sukkah, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. Meseches Beitzah. The focus of this Mesechta is Yom Tov, and that's referring to actual days of Yom Tov, not including Chol HaMoed, and also not including Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is considered like Shabbos, but it's referring to days of Yom Tov, such as the first day of Pesach and the last day of Pesach, the first and last days of Sukkot, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah. And in general, just like on Shabbos, there are 39 forbidden malachas, 39 forbidden categories of work, so too, everything which is forbidden on Shabbos is also forbidden on Yom Tov. But the Mishnah Megillah tells us there is one big exception to that, and that is activities which are done for oichel nefesh, for the preparation of food. Anything for the sake of food is permitted on Yom Tov. The Torah explicitly writes with regards to the Yom Tov of Pesach that one cannot perform any forms of work, ach asher yeochel oichel nefesh, hu levad yeaseh lachem. The things which are done for the sake of food, that alone can be done for yourselves. However, not everything to do with food is permitted. Around a third of the 39 malachas are to do with the preparation of food. For example, trapping an animal. That's technically for the sake of preparing food. Harvesting a field, you could argue, is for the sake of food. It's an early stage, but it's definitely for the sake of food. But it is certainly forbidden to harvest a field on Yom Tov. Now, with regards to defining which malachas, which forms of work, are permitted on Yom Tov, so there is wide debate as to how exactly to define this. According to many Rishonim, the rule is that if the thing could have been done before Yom Tov, and there would have been no difference in quality of the food. For example, whether you harvest something yesterday or today makes no difference to the actual quality of the final product. So something like that would be forbidden to be done on Yom Tov. However, something like slaughtering the animal or cooking the animal, that certainly does make a difference if it was done fresh that day, and therefore that can be done on Yom Tov. According to others, it depends on how close to the final product it is. So harvesting, which is a very early stage, cannot be done, but cooking, which is right to the end, so that can be done, and we'll see throughout the Masechta which malachas are included in what can be done on Yom Tov. There is another very wide debate as to whether all of this is midrabbanon or midoraisa. According to some, any form of work which has any connection to food, even something like harvesting the field, even though it's a very early stage and it could have been done before Yom Tov, midoraisa is permitted to be done on Yom Tov. However, midrabbanon, they said that so that somebody does not end up spending his whole day of Yom Tov working, and doesn't actually enjoy Yom Tov, and fulfill the mitzvah of rejoicing on Yom Tov, so midrabbanon they forbade it. That is the opinion of some Rishonim. Other Rishonim, however, argue and hold that it is midoraisa, forbidden to harvest and do other melachas which are similar to that on Yom Tov, and it was never originally included in those melachas which the Torah permits to be done on Yom Tov. Now, the reason why the Masechta is called Maseches Beitzah and not something like Maseches Yom Tov, which would seem to make more sense, is because of the first word of the Masechta. The first case of the Masechta involves an egg, and that is how the Masechta gained its name of Beitza. Be as it may, the first case of the Mishnah has many different interpretations in the Gemara of what exactly is the issue at hand. We would explain it according to what seems to be the conclusion over there, and that is that it concerns the requirement of Hachana. Beis Hillel learned from a posuk in the Torah which says, V'hoya b'yom ha'shishi, it will be on the Friday, V'hechinu es asher yaviu, they will prepare what they will bring. Beis Hillel learned from here that there is a requirement to prepare what one will eat on Shabbos, and the same applies to Yom Tov, before Shabbos or Yom Tov begins, that one has to designate and prepare the food on a weekday for the sake of the Shabbos or the Yom Tov. Now, when an egg is laid by a hen, it actually becomes fully developed and ready to be laid one day before it is actually laid. That is when it becomes a ready egg, one day before it is actually laid. It follows, therefore, that if you have a Yom Tov which falls on a Sunday, if an egg is laid on the Sunday, it must have been prepared and become ready the day before, which was a Shabbos. And in such a case, the requirement of Achona is not fulfilled. The requirement of Achona states that it has to be prepared from a weekday for Shabbos or Yom Tov. But over here, it was prepared on Shabbos for Yom Tov. And so according to Beis Hillel, that would not be able to be eaten. Not only that, but according to Beis Hillel, even if Yom Tov does not fall on a Sunday, but it falls on any day of the week, midrabbanan, it is also forbidden to eat that egg, in case somebody comes to eat the egg when it is laid on a Sunday Yom Tov. People won't think in their minds to make a difference between which day of the week Yom Tov falls, and so if they are permitted to eat an egg which is laid on a Yom Tov which falls on a Tuesday, let's say, they will come to eat it even when the Yom Tov falls on a Sunday, and therefore midrabbanan, it is forbidden on every Yom Tov. An egg which is laid on Yom Tov, it can be eaten. According to Beis Shammai, there is no requirement of Achana at all. On the other hand, it cannot be eaten because of the requirement of Achana, and even if the Yom Tov does not fall on a Sunday, midrabbanan, it is forbidden to eat it. The Mishnah already goes sidetracked now to a halacha concerning Pesach, and the reason why the Mishnah brings this machlekes over here is because it is similar to the previous machlekes in that Beis Hillel are more strict than Beis Shammai. This is very rare, so the Mishnah is now going to bring two more cases concerning Yom Tov where Beis Hillel is more strict than Beis Shammai. Now, as well as the prohibition of eating chometz on Pesach, there is also a prohibition of bayirah or bayimotze. And when talking about these prohibitions, the Torah specifies regular chometz, and also se'er, which is sourdough, which is dough which has developed enough in its process of fermentation that it can cause other doughs to rise, similar to how yeast causes dough to rise. And Beis Shammai learned that from the fact that the Torah specified both types of chometz and separated the two things, we learn from here that the minimum amount that one must own in order to be chayev is different for chometz and se'er. Se'er is considered to be an even bigger form of chometz because it can cause other things to rise. And so the minimum amount for that is smaller according to Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says, se'er b'chazayis. To be chayev for owning se'er on Pesach, one has to own at least the size of an olive. The chometz, but when it comes to regular chometz, which only itself has risen, but it can't cause other things to rise, b'chakeseves, only if one owns the larger amount of the size of a date, only then would he have violated the avera of bayirah, of owning chometz on Pesach. The minimum amount for both of them is the size of an olive. Beis Hillel does not differentiate between the two, and he is more strict, therefore, because he holds that the smaller amount applies even to regular chometz. Mishnah Gimel, what follows is another debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, in which Beis Hillel is more strict, and the issue at hand is the mitzvah of kisui hadam. The Torah says that when one slaughters a kosher wild animal, or a kosher bird, there is a mitzvah to cover the blood which comes out. Cover it with earth or sand, and sort of bury the blood in the ground. Now, one of the permitted forms of work on Yom Tov is slaughtering an animal. The problem is, however, it is forbidden to dig up earth on Yom Tov. There are a number of prohibitions involved. Firstly, it could very well be midoraisa forbidden, because crushing the earth is considered to be like grinding. It could also be considered like ploughing. And apart from that, is also midrabbanan forbidden because of muktzah. If something is not set aside at the beginning of Shabbos or the beginning of Yom Tov to be used, and one doesn't have the intention to use it, he hasn't set it aside, it is considered to be muktzah and forbidden to move. So if he didn't prepare the earth before Yom Tov, then certainly the earth is also considered to be muktzah. Now concerning the prohibitions midoraisa which are involved in digging up the earth, that can be solved if before Yom Tov, One places a spade in the ground, and he loosens the earth, so he won't need to crush it when he comes to lift it up on Yom Tov. And then the next day, once he slaughters the animal, he can just sort of lift up the earth from the ground with the spade, and he will not violate any melacha mid oraisa. However, just by placing the spade into the ground is not enough to set aside that part of the ground for use on Yom Tov. Only if you were to lift up the actual earth, that part of the earth, only then would it be considered really setting it aside to be used on Yom Tov, and therefore midrabbanan, it is still considered to be muktzah. Nevertheless, according to Beis Shammai, Hashochet chayav oev b'Yom Tov, one who wants to slaughter, that's how the Gemara explains, one who wants to slaughter a wild animal or a bird on Yom Tov, Beis Shammai and Beis Shammai say, as long as he placed the spade and loosened the ground where he stuck the spade in before Yom Tov, he can ignore the prohibition of Muktzah Midrabanan, and Yachper Badeker, he can dig up that earth with the spade, V'yachaseh, and cover the blood in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam. According to Beis Shammai, the Rabbanan were lenient in this case because of the mitzvah Midoraisa of Simchas Yom Tov, of enjoying the Yom Tov. So in order to make it possible and easier for one to be able to slaughter an animal on Yom Tov, there is no prohibition of Muktzah in this case. He is not allowed to slaughter the animal because he will have to come to violate the prohibition midrabanan of muktzah. Elohim kein hoile offer muchem b'ayjoim, unless he had earth which was totally prepared before Yom Tov, on Erev Yom Tov, meaning he would have had to lift it up the earth and taken it out and totally prepared it before Yom Tov in order that it not be considered to be muktzah. However, umoidim, Beis Hillel do agree the Shem Shachat, that if he did nevertheless go ahead and slaughter the animal, so now that he has slaughtered it, he has a mitzvah de oraisa to cover the blood. And if the only earth which he has is earth which he prepared by sticking a stone into the ground and loosening it, so there's no prohibition de oraisa involved. So in this case, since there is a mitzvah de oraisa of covering the blood, and only a prohibition midrabanan of muktzah, Sheyach Rabadeka V'yichaseh, that he should dig up that earth with the spade and cover the blood. Now the Mishnah adds a last law, and that is She'efer Kira Muchonhu, which the Gemara reads as V'efer Kira Muchonhu. It's a new point, and that is that the ashes of an oven are considered to be prepared. So if someone has not yet slaughtered the animal and he wants to know, is he allowed to? So sticking a spade into the ground is not good enough. But the ashes which are in an oven, which had been there already from the beginning of Yom Tov, those are not considered to be muktzah, since they can be used for kisui adam. The general intention of a person is to set those aside for use on Yom Tov, and therefore if he does have ashes in the oven, he would be able to slaughter the animal, and then use the ashes to cover the blood and fulfill the mitzvah of kisui hadam.